Welcome to In the Studio, the podcast dedicated to empowering and elevating dance creatives like you. I'm your host, Aubrey Aries, and in each episode, we'll dive into practical tips, strategies, and inspiring stories to help you take your dance career or project to the next level. Whether you're a choreographer, dancer, producer, or in any other creative role, this is the place to learn, grow, and turn your passion into a success. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and connect with me on AubreyAries.com for more insights and updates. Now, let's jump in to today's episode. Today, I want to talk about the world of gigs. But first, let's define what a gig is. A gig is a term commonly used in the entertainment and creative industry to refer to a job or a performance, typically one that is temporary, short-term, or freelance. Also, you might have heard it's a 1099 gig or a 1099 job, and it pretty much means it's a one-time thing for a one-time payment of lump sum of money. In the context of dance, a gig could mean teaching a two-hour workshop and getting paid a certain amount of money, or maybe you perform at a local charity event as a dancer or entertainer. That would be a gig because it's one time. Now, as an entrepreneur, we all have to start somewhere, and finding opportunity to teach or to perform and get paid, compensated to do it is a win for anyone that's just starting out. But let's be honest, it's a win for anyone that's trying to make it in our industry. But how do we survive in a career of gigs without having to have an additional job? Number one, you make consistency happen. That can go in many of ways. But staying in the vicinity of gigs only, you have to be able to produce a product. And when you produce a product, you fill your calendar. And that's what makes it consistent. Now, using that example of the two-hour workshop, let's say someone hires you for 2 hours. I need you to teach a jazz class for 2 hours. I need you to teach a salsa class for 2 hours. Okay, how are we going to make consistency out of that opportunity? You record yourself. Now, I know that's a long time. 2 hours is a long time and it's a lot of content. But you recording yourself, teaching, demonstrating, having interactive moments with your audience, whether it's a big audience or a small audience, take that and create a 1 minute reel that basically shows all the highlights of that 2 hours of you as an instructor. Type up an email explaining what you can offer and send a price list of what it is that it costs to hire you, and send that 1 minute reel of that 2 hour workshop to anyone and everyone that you can think of that will give you an opportunity, that might give you an opportunity. Or I mean, what the heck, you might as well just send it to anyone that could potentially give you an opportunity. And that's how you start, number one, getting yourself out there, marketing, and most importantly, you start filling up that calendar and you create your consistency. You know what? Let's use the example of the charity show that I had mentioned earlier in the podcast. You make those contacts, okay? Making contacts is extremely important in the gig environment. Getting to know the choreographer who is leading the show that you're a part of, introducing yourself, getting their information, and asking if it's possible to send over your resume. As choreographers, they are always looking to book dancers because it's going to fulfill them at the end of the day. It's going to fulfill their project at the end of the day. The dancers who are also hired for this show that you potentially are a part of, the charity show, it's always about who you know. You could say something like, hey, I'm new to the dance scene and I'm always looking for projects or gigs to help further my career. Do you know anyone who may be interested in hiring a dancer with my experience or background? I bet you they'll probably say, actually, yeah, I do. Do you have partner dance experience? Do you have a technical background? Where are you from? Oh, do you know this choreographer? And that is how you start to build your contacts. Now, let's say, actually, I don't have anyone that crosses my mind at the moment, but let me get your Instagram or send me over your resume. And if I hear of anything, I'll make sure to reach out to you. Because the truth is that if a dancer is getting booked, let's say for, I don't know, Britney Spears, right? And that choreographer is like, hey, do you know anyone that could potentially do X, Y, and Z? They're going to want to make themselves look good. And they're going to be like, yeah, actually, I have this person that can do blah, 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 blah. You should hire them. Boom, you're in it. You are in the next Britney, blah, 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 blah. That is creating contacts, and it just helps to know people in your scene. It helps to know, you know, who's where with what and this and that and all that good stuff, especially in the gig world. Most of the time, the people that are getting the gigs are because they know each other, they know the choreographer, or they know the producer. It's very rare to book gigs because you auditioned for it. It really is a who you know type of world. Listen, I'm not going to bombard you with today's episode with too many examples because I want you to get creative. These two scenarios were to get your creative juices flowing. But if you're like, Aubrey, I just can't. My creative juices, they ain't flowing. No problem. Use what I had to say today as your template. Okay. You never know until you try. If it works, I'd love to hear from you to share in your success. And if you do it and it doesn't work, I still want to hear from you because we can all learn from something. So visit my website and leave me a message. Until then, stay creative, stay inspired, and I'll see you in the studio.